the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 52, the conclusion to today's Gospel reading. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. One of the more amusing incidents and moments in the celebration of the Eucharist in this parish does not happen at High Mass, but happens during the week at one of the various Masses celebrated in the Lady Chapel, for which we get it between 6 and 16 often. And people are occasionally, by that great reticence, are reluctant to say the responses loudly and enthusiastically for fear they stand out in such a crowd. Until, of course, we get to the dismissal. And when the priest says the Mass is ended, go in peace, there's always enthusiastic, if not thunderous, thanks be to God. It's almost like they are saying, thanks be to God, it's over, now we can go home. But maybe there is some justification for being enthusiastic about the dismissal. Those of you who remember the Latin Mass will remember that the Latin for the Mass is ended is ite missa est, which literally means it is finished, go. And what this implies is that what we have celebrated here, particularly the gift of Holy Communion, is not just to be kept within these four walls, but it's become part of us, the communion and the celebration, and we must take it with us so that it becomes part of our daily living. In today's Gospel, we have a reference to such a dismissal, where it says in Mark 6:45, while he dismissed the crowd. Now, at first this seems a little hard, you know, they've all been fed, now you can all go home. It's a dismissal like that. But when we consider that it is the conclusion of the feeding of the 5,000, which is itself a symbol and image of Holy Communion, maybe the dismissal of Jesus on that day is meant to be taken in the same sense as the dismissal at every Mass. That is, having fed the crowd with the bread, he bids them take this experience of miracle and change with you and go. He perhaps was saying, a Eucharist is over, you have been fed, now take it with you and go. Now this would explain the rather strange, perhaps difficult comment at the end, they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. The feeding of the 5,000 was a miracle which not only symbolised Holy Communion, it also revealed the divine power of Jesus, revealing him as someone who has power over creation because he is Lord of creation. Through a miracle of creation, the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus is revealed as the divine Son of God. But the apostles couldn't see it. It was too hard to understand. Their hearts were hardened, says St. Mark. They didn't understand that in that simple miracle, Jesus was revealing his divine power and nature. So quite naturally, as they didn't understand that, when he comes walking over the water, as it is in the Gospel today, they don't realise it is him. It's not what they were expecting. Mark says they thought it was a ghost and cried out, and possibly we would too, to see this figure coming across the lake. Because they didn't see what really happened with the feeding of the 5,000, they didn't understand that Jesus was the divine Son through whom all things were made, so naturally they wouldn't believe that this is Jesus coming across the water in the middle of a storm. So yes, Mark is right, they were hardened in their belief, or rather we should say lack of belief. Nothing has changed in 2,000 years, has it? Some people say you don't have to believe in the miracles to be a Christian. They are sort of a little extra bit to make the Gospel more interesting or to make Jesus seem more exciting. Some theologians would say that our faith should not rely on miracles, should not depend on it. And of course that's true, it shouldn't depend on miracles, except it's all based on the great miracle, the rising of Jesus from the dead. And those people who say we shouldn't depend on miracles, always when you test them, will go so far as to include the virgin birth and the resurrection in those miracles that we shouldn't depend on for our faith. The problem with those people is not that their hearts are hardened. In fact, soft is a better understanding, what we might call downplaying the faith. And the real problem, as always, is that they don't believe Jesus could do this. Otherwise, if he did do it, you'd have to believe it. So if you don't think it's necessary, therefore, perhaps Jesus didn't do it anyway. That is what is the problem. Which means those sort of people don't believe that Jesus has power over creation. And therefore, he can't be Lord of creation. What a terrible age we live in. Which really is trying to make our faith more relevant and more modern. And the problem with these modern heresies and false teachings is they go back to this basic question. Either Jesus is the divine Son of God, with all that that means, or he is not. And if he is not, then of course such miracles as walking on the water and feeding the 5,000 did not happen. They're pure stories invented to colour the story. Or perhaps just a trick that Jesus performed because he thinks we're simple and stupid. And they certainly don't strengthen our faith. But if that's the case, what is the faith without miracles? For at heart, our faith is about a relationship with Jesus, a relationship in which we acknowledge him as our Lord and Saviour. And when you have that relationship, you know he can do anything, because it often happens in our lives, doesn't it? You see, if Jesus can't feed 5,000 people from 5 loaves, as is recorded, then he certainly can't feed us this morning with his body and blood. All we're getting is bread and wine given to you by a minister. One understanding leads to another, and one misunderstanding leads to another. And soon we find, as St. Paul says, that we are the most unfortunate of all people because we don't even believe the resurrection. It is about our relationship with Jesus in the church. The man or woman who teaches that being a Christian does not involve saying you believe in Jesus and committing yourself personally to Jesus as your Lord and Saviour is no different to those first apostles who did not understand because their hearts were hardened. This word hardened actually is a very significant word. I keep saying week by week there's a significant word in the Gospel. Obviously, St. Mark uses it in reference to the understanding of the meaning of the feeding of the 5,000. And as I said last week, from the beginning the church understood this feeding of the 5,000 to be an image and symbol of the Eucharist. And there is a lot of misunderstanding about that, isn't there? We have to admit that there is still in our church a misunderstanding about the Eucharist, so that many people don't hardly comprehend what they receive in their hand or on their tongue. You have to go to other parishes all around the country and other churches to see how they celebrate the Eucharist. And what they do is so casual and so contemporary that it is lacking in awe and wonder at the presence of our Lord and Saviour. And indeed, in those sort of churches, you might as well be at coffee hour. So why wait now on Sunday in church when you can go to Starbucks and it's cheaper? Well, it should be cheaper. The significance of this word hardened is clearly shown in another gospel, in St. John chapter 6. At the beginning of St. John chapter 6, in verses 1 to 14, we have St. John's description of the feeding of the 5,000 that we've been hearing from St. Mark's Gospel. And this is followed, as in St. Mark's Gospel, by Jesus retreating to the mountain by himself to pray. And as again in St. Mark's Gospel, this is immediately followed by this incident where the 12 go across the lake in the boat and Jesus comes across past them. And then the difference in St. John's Gospel comes. We have 45 verses in St. John chapter 6 where Jesus teaches us about the Eucharist, teaches us about the doctrine of Holy Communion. And we all need to read that if we doubt about the presence of Christ in the Eucharist or don't believe that what we receive is the body of Christ. And then at the end of these 45 verses of teaching of the Eucharist, Jesus brings up this word hard again. Sorry, St. John brings up this word hard again. For in verse 60 he says, many of the disciples, when they heard it, said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? St. Mark says the disciples were hardened because they didn't understand the mystery of the feeding of 5,000. St. John says the disciples felt his teaching about the Eucharist was too hard to understand. The word hard in a completely different gospel, a very different style, but as in Mark, is connected with the Eucharist and with believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that through him we have life and we receive that in Holy Communion. So there you have it, a simple word, hard, connecting these two gospels in a profound teaching about the basis of our faith and how we practice it. Jesus, as a sort of finale to St. John's Gospel, challenged the disciples where it says, this is a hard saying, and asked them, would they go away? And St. Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that really sums it all up. But perhaps we can sum it up in another way, sum it all up in the words of Cardinal Newman, where he says, my Maker, dare I stay? My Saviour, dare I turn away? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.